I want to turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans, that's the letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to that church there in Rome through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, of course. In Romans chapter 12, now if you happen to have your one-year discipleship course book with you, you would find our chapter today on page 113. That's page 113, and well, really, we're continuing on page 114, to be honest, because, of course, we've already started on this last week, and we want to continue a little bit again this week in learning more about God's will. How can I know God's will? You know, there's a lot of talk about God's will in Christian circles. Oh, it's the best thing you can ever do in your life. And it is. Oh, that's really the only or and the best way to find joy, to find fulfillment, to, you know, fulfill your calling, your purpose in this world. And that is certainly true as well. And most of us really hardly have any clue. How do we know it? How do we figure it out? And where can I find it? And how do I live it? Amen? And this morning, I want to give some more help with that. As we read there in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's bow in prayer this morning. Dear Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for the salvation that we can have today, Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, thank you that we don't have to wonder, we don't have to just, you know, hope for the best. Lord, we can know for certain that Jesus Christ is our Savior. And Father, we pray that if anyone may be listening in here today or coming to our services, Father, that does not have that assurance, that does not have true peace with God through forgiveness in Jesus, Lord, we pray that today they would make that choice, Lord, to trust your death on the cross for them and receive you as Savior. Father, we want to thank you so much for your word, and God, we desire to follow your will for our lives. Lord, and all our shortcomings and all our imperfections, Lord, in our foolishness sometimes, Lord, we still want to nevertheless trust you. And Lord, we know really in our minds that following your way is the best for us and is the only true way for joy and fulfillment. And dear God, we just pray for your help with that today. We ask for your wisdom. God, empower me to teach what you need me to teach today, and we yield ourselves to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. When we think about God's will, we've already looked into verse 1, and we've broken down a lot of the different words here that are being used last week. And so I would refer you back to that lesson for context. Or into your books there. But I want to encourage us once again, just by way of remembrance, is that the Lord gives us a motivation for us to follow His will. So, my will, right? You know, you have to forgive me if so many times I have family illustration because I'm a young dad and, you know, I got this all the time in front of my eyes, right? And it's like, no, I want to do it myself, Daddy. And I was like, oh, that's a big mess. Like, oh, Daddy, go fix it, you know. So many times I feel like that's me, you know. And I realize and I learn the longer I live with the Lord, you know what? The only times in my life that I usually have regrets are times when I do not follow and see God's will. Amen? And so as a motivation for us, to follow God's will, he refers us to his mercies, the mercies of God, that he would come down, lower himself into human form. He would be willing to die on the cross for us, and he would be willing to purchase our sin-ridden souls by his own precious blood to make us his own children. Praise the Lord. Whenever I think about the mercy of God, really, after that, whatever he may ask of me is completely reasonable, isn't it? Amen? And that's what he's expounding here as well, where he goes on and says, you know, that is your reasonable service. If I consider what Christ has done for me, it just plain old makes only sense that I would now want to serve him and worship him. And that in a sense, he does also have a right and authority over my life to tell me what to do and really to reveal to me what his design is. Amen? God is my engineer. I mean, he would know the best what's going on, right? And what my purpose is. And so we've talked about what that living sacrifice is all about and how that is a continual, a daily surrender and a willingness to yield myself to not my will, but your will, as the Lord prayed. But we want to look into verse 2 now there. And it says, be not conformed to this world. And that's where we get to our second point in our lesson. Knowing God's will requires separation. Knowing God's will requires separation. At the very heart of knowing God's will is our willingness to separate ourselves, to be different from this world. Now notice, that's not an optional add-on somehow. No, I believe that's at the very core of it, of following God's will. Just like God had called out the Old Testament nation of Israel to be a light to the Gentiles, to stand out in a good way, and thereby be his messenger, so to speak, you and I are called to be lights in his world as well. God is a holy God, and a wicked world that is living in rebellion to him cannot go hand in hand together. Now notice here the word conformed. Conform. That implies that I'm moldable. That, well, really, we're weak, right? And we can't be squeezed into some sort of a mold. You see, the world always will have some form or another of a mold for your life. And they seem to always know better, and they seem to always want to tell us what we ought to be doing with their life. And then it's funny, and then at the same time, they accuse us of wanting to, you know, be cookie-cutter Christians to make everybody the same. And I'm like, well, that's not the case at all. Plus, the fact of the matter is, we ought to not be molded, we ought to not be conformed to the lies and the deceit that is being propagated in a world that rebels against God. But folks, we have to realize the fact that the world is very, well, I guess you could call it evangelistic in their sense. They're very much missionaries in trying to capture our hearts and minds for their purposes. All right? And so that's very important to understand. It's not like some sort of a neutral ground somehow. All right? The world is not content with minding their own business, so to speak. It will constantly, always has and always will, seek to conform you and me to the world's philosophy and to the world's lifestyle. In our book here, we have a quote by a musician, by a rocker, Courtney Love, who said that she has a need to impose my worldview on the culture. And, you know, that's the funny thing, how unfortunately so ignorant we are often as Christians, how the world is very open, very transparent about their missionary agenda on trying to change our minds and our society. And yet we oftentimes will think, well, it's just all hunky-dory and all neutral. So we have to understand that. And that's why separation is absolutely a necessary part of pursuing God's will for my life. So I want to look at several verses that go into more detail there as well. Not being conformed, not being molded into the pattern that the world wants me to follow. The first verse I want to go to is in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10. Who could read that for us this morning, please? Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 10. Ephesians 5, verse 10. Who has that? Thank you. Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. We're proving, once again, means testing, examining something. All right? You know, so many times we've heard, oh, thou shalt not judge, thou shalt not judge. And it's like, did you keep reading? It says, thou shalt judge righteous judgment. folks, following God's will implies that we're willing to make decisions between what is right and what is wrong. That we're willing to test everything by the scriptures, by the revealed will and mind of God to us. And that we're willing to make those choices and according to the discernment given to us by God. Okay, that is part of God's will, and that is not acceptable to God's will. Doesn't mean we're hateful. Doesn't mean we're like, everything is from, No, it's just we're learning from the scriptures what is right for us to do as Christians, as we want to follow God's will, and what is not part of that will, right? It's really not that hard. And so God says we can know, we can figure that out, what is acceptable unto Him. And we can and need to follow that. We further see there in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, where, the Lord is talking there about the grace of God that brings salvation unto all men. And oh, how we love that grace, right? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. And it surely is. But folks, then it goes on to say that once we're saved, once again, there's a clear separation between salvation and surrender, all right? Don't ever mix that up. That's false doctrine. That when once we're saved, we're called by God's grace to now follow His agenda. It says there in Titus 2, verse 12, that God's grace there is teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Oh, I live for God once I'm in heaven. Well, God wants us to live for God already right here in this present world too. All right? And so this is very, very important that we understand that difference there. Matter of fact, the Lord uses very strong language, surprisingly strong language in James 4, verse 4. And once again, we see the distinction there that He makes between the agenda of the world that wants to conform us to their ideas, and what it means to follow God's will. In James chapter 4, in verse 4, he says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses." And now I believe from the context there, he's not just talking about immoral people. It's referring there to some sort of spiritual unfaithfulness, so to speak. Anyways, he says, "Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." You know, if you're wondering what's the word enmity, well, he explains it in the second half of the verse. All right? "Whosoever there will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Now, that doesn't mean I have to be the enemy of the world. It doesn't mean I have to hate everyone who doesn't follow God's will. But it does mean that I have to be willing to not be become a part of that agenda. That means that I have to be willing to identify what is opposing God, what ideas, what philosophies, what lifestyles are acting as an enemy against the holiness and majesty and glory of God. And I have to say, no, that is attacking God. I'm going to reject that. I'm not going to follow that. And I'm rather going to be transformed according to the will of God. All right? We see how the world has poured into so many Christian homes and even Christian churches. And, you know, it has many different avenues, whether it be the entertainment world, whether it be the music world, and the rock and roll and the pop culture, whatever avenue it may be. And you and I as believers have to be willing to say, you know what? No, I want to instead follow God's perfect will for my life. And I have to be willing to reject unholiness and follow rather what God calls righteousness. Now, folks, this is an exceedingly controversial concept. I mean, a lot of people still talk about it in general principles. You know, it's like, oh, we ought to be, you know, different. And it's like, well, how should I be different? Let's not talk about that, you know, because let God lead you in this somehow. No, let's talk about it. Let's talk about what God talks about, amen? And let's not be afraid to go into specifics let's allow the Word of God to say what it says, amen? Unfortunately, this whole idea of being willing to separate ourselves unto God has become quite controversial, even among Christians. But we just have to follow the Bible, amen? And we just have to say, you know what? No, I do not have to be conformed to the world. I do not have to be part of that agenda in order to reach Him. All right, that is a lie. We that's not how this works. Matter of fact, the best way we could reach the world is by being different. Because I mean, what else do we have to offer them, anyways? If it's not that there's a different life, right? So many people there say, it's like, oh, well, you know what, at least we're winning people to the Lord, you know, or something of that. It's like, yeah, that is great, but you know, what are we winning them to? You know, if it is not following God's will once they're saved. Let's move on there in the next part in Romans chapter 12 as we go back there. Romans chapter 12. And as we go on through our discipleship series, we will address specific areas of our life and our lifestyle, folks. And I can guarantee you some of that may be uncomfortable. Some of that may be new for us that we've never really considered it in that light. And that's okay. We can always grow. Amen? Even if you've been a Christian for 50 years, it's still okay to grow. Amen? And we just have to be willing to yield to the Word of God. Notice there in verse 2 of Romans 12, it says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So knowing God's will requires some dedication, some surrender and yielding to His way in our life. It requires that we're willing to separate from the things that He tells us to separate from. And it also requires a spiritual transformation. As we mentioned on, I think it was Thursday night, right? How God always works from the inside out, folks. And that is so important to understand. By transforming us into the image of Christ, we become fashioned. We can be as believers according to how Christ wants us to live our life, and we're following His pattern instead of allowing us to be molded into the corrupt and foolish mold of the world, right? And that's a process, of course. As we grow more and more in Christ, God gives us spiritual strength in the inner man, as Ephesians calls it. He gives us wisdom, and He gives us more and more power to resist that call of the world on us, so to speak, and to rather follow His direction. Now, it starts by a spiritual transformation. It says here that happens through the renewing of my mind. Now, this is very important. We must learn to think God's thoughts if we want Him to transform our life and if we want to start to act more Christ-like as well. Pretty much every action that we do first was thought upon and decided upon first in our mind. And so that's why it is so important that we learn the mind of Christ, as the scriptures be called. That we learn to think more and more like the Lord thinks through reading the Bible, through studying it, comparing scripture with scripture, through meditating upon it and memorizing it. Folks, that's why we can never overstate the importance of these things as you know, boring or repetitive or studious as those things may sometimes sound. But the fact of the matter is, we cannot learn to think like God thinks and then to act like God thinks, act and wants us to act, if we have no idea how He thinks, right? We know God's will by knowing God's Word. At the core, it's really that simple. And that I can find out each and every day. And as I ask him and seek that in prayer as I open up my Bible. I want to go to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 1 there. A beautiful passage of scripture. If I remember correctly, I believe that was Abraham Lincoln's favorite Bible verses. Psalm chapter 1, there in verse 1. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Again, don't follow the ideas and philosophy of the world. Right? I mean, how many times could God tell us that? Let me read it again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Oh, I need to stop. Folks, so many times I looked at these verses and I've noticed how there's a progression. Oh, first, we're just listening. We're just walking in that counsel. We're just listening to it, you know. Then we're standing in their way where we're joining them. And before we know it, we're part and parcel of the seed of the scornful. There's a progression there. And so that we need to be very, very careful of that. Now notice then there, the opposite is true as well there in verse 2. But his delight, his pleasure, his joy, his desire. That's what delight is. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Oh, I would like that. Well, find out what God's word says and follow it. Well, what if I fail? What if I fall short? Well, get back up. The righteous man falleth down 7 times, but the Lord upholdeth him. We see again and again how every one of the Bible characters, I mean, you name them, Abraham, David, Paul, Peter, everyone, well, except for Jesus, of course, they all had failures and shortcomings, and they all needed to repent and ask the Lord for forgiveness and then trust the forgiveness of God and move on and see God mending up their lives despite their failures in his grace. But folks, the fact of the matter is we need to keep going. We keep pursuing the will of God day by day by day. We can't just keep dwelling upon the regrets and of past failures and the, oh, I wish I would have and I should have. And that doesn't help nobody. I can do whatever I know God wants me to do today, right? I can focus on that. Psalm 119, verse 9, the Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Or, you know, may I add, I'm sure the Lord would include in this also a young lady or older people, who every one of us. Well, it says there, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Taking heed means to pay attention, to be very careful about something, all right? To listen with the intent to obey. Somebody once said that a dusty Bible indicates a dirty heart. Oh, that's convicting, isn't it? And this Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. And how true those simple statements are, amen? That's very important to understand, folks, that God and God's will never lead us in any way contrary to the Bible, all right? So we can know that for sure. For example, God's will would not lead a wife to sin against her husband. Or God's will would not lead a husband to sin against his wife. That could never be God's will. God would not lead a woman to leave her God-given role, God-given design, as 1 Timothy 2 verse 12 says, and to become a preacher somewhere. All right, God's will is very clear about that. The same way God would never release someone who is not scripturally qualified to, you know, be a preacher somewhere. We can all be ambassadors. We all need to be witnesses for the Lord without question. But within the design and within the wonderful, joy-filled roles that God has made for each and every one of us, folks. God won't lead us to get involved in false doctrine or false teachers or involved with what he calls sin. God will not lead us to marry an unbeliever and thereby bring great hardship into our life. God would not lead us to take on a job that would cause us to neglect our family, and that's especially true for mothers. Or God would not lead us to take on a job that would cause us to neglect his church, neither. And, you know, as you go back to our study book, there's verses for each and every one of these cases. And folks, it's so fascinating to see how God safeguards my life. And how he wants to keep me from all these pitfalls and minefields, amen? Because he loves us. You know, sometimes you think, oh, if I yield to whatever God wants for me, certainly by next Sunday, I'm going to have to preach somewhere in the bush in Africa with snakes and you know, scorpions crawling around everywhere. Oh, that's scary. You know, no, not at all. But it may mean I just have to obey him, whatever I know that day to do from the Lord's word. Amen. I want to move on here. We need to recognize that spiritual transformation, that renewal of our mind, comes by the power of the Holy Spirit through God's word. And we need to be willing to yield to him and allow him control over my life, so to speak. So many times God has called me to do things that at first I did not feel like doing. Pretty much every week, I don't feel like going out and sharing the gospel with other people. Our flesh hates that. You know, so many times we know that we need to pray more, but we don't feel like it, do we? And so what? Guess what? Well, then I have to remind myself that, you know what? I want God's Spirit to control my life, though. And I want him to call my shots, so to speak. And so I have to be willing to say, not my will, but your will. And I'll say yes to God, even if that means saying no to my whatever I feel like at the time. Because my heart is deceitfully wicked and sinful above all things. And only God can truly know it, the prophet Jeremiah says, and I'm paraphrasing. And so the world will tell me, oh, just follow your heart. And that's one of the worst advice anybody could ever give. Yeah. Don't follow your heart. Follow the word of God and the will of God. Amen. And follow the leading of the Spirit of God. So many times we may struggle in knowing how to, okay, well, I know the principle in Scripture or the commandment of Scripture, but now this is the particular of my situation. How do I apply that? And so that's where we ask wisdom from the Lord. Amen? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The book of James says. And then, as I yield myself to the control of the Holy Spirit in prayer, God will give me the wisdom on how to apply that general principle in the particular of my situation. Word of God is alive. It's powerful, isn't it? Amen? Ephesians 5, verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And that coincides with Ephesians 4:30, which has the opposite case, where we're warned what happens when we do not be filled, when we're not yielded to the control of the Holy Spirit. It says in Ephesians 4:30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. To grieve means to cause sorrow, to pain. And when we disobey, when we refuse to yield to the Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of our hearts, according to Romans chapter 8, we can grieve God's Holy Spirit, and then we wonder why we're miserable, and then we wonder why we don't have the joy of the Lord anymore. And when we go to the Lord in prayer and ask him to search our heart, we realize, oh, I've been disobeying. That's good news. Because first of all, God loves and cares enough about you to convict you and to show you. And secondly, it means, hey, we can get that moved out of the way. We can confess it. The Lord promised to forgive us. We can repent of it and get it right. And man, we move on in joy. Amen? Like David of old. Every Christian ought to have a firm grip and a great love of Psalm 51, folks. I really do believe that. I mean, I probably prayed that psalm hundreds of times. The psalm of repentance. Restore unto me, Lord, the joy of thy salvation. We also see that spiritual transformation is a process, folks. It's a process. It doesn't just happen overnight. You know, we didn't learn the foolishness, the sinful ways, the lies, and the deceit of the world overnight. Matter of fact, they're busy educating us for like at least 12 years, the first few years of our life, quite frankly. And so unlearning those things will not always happen overnight neither, too, all right? And so it's a growth process that will take time, that will take persistence, that will take dedication, that will take patience, all right? Will require developing godly habits like Bible reading, like private prayer, like attending church and being encouraged and learning more, and continuing in them. I've gone to church 3 times now in a row, and you know, I've been praying every day this last week, and I still don't know everything about what God wants for me in my life, so it must not work. Well, that's not how this goes, all right? It's a lifelong growth process, right? If my babies would stop eating after a week or two and saying, well, you know, I've been feeding like crazy for the first few weeks and I still don't know how to drive a car. Screw this, forget it, you know? You'll say, well, this is nuts, right? This doesn't make any sense. Well, folks, so many times we get impatient with God's growth process of us and His inside, outward, spiritual transformation process. And we want to give up. We want to get discouraged. And the Lord says, just stay in there. Keep going one day at a time. I'm working on you. Well, at least as long as you let me. Amen. As long as you're yielding, as long as you're learning. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. James chapter 1, verse 4. Goes on to say to let patience have her perfect work that he may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. So that's what we want to close with this morning. There from Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to the world. But once again, we see the principle of replacement. God in the Bible, he doesn't just say, oh, don't do that anymore. And then, well, go figure it out for yourself. No, he always has a replacement for it. Whenever we get rid of ungodly habits, it's so important to make sure we replace them with good habits and godly habits, all right? So be not conformed to this world, but yield yourself to the transforming, the spiritual renewal process of God through the renewal of your mind. Renewal is like this idea of renovation, chucking out the old and getting in the new, amen? It's really not that complicated, not that you know, secretive. But it may require some consistency. And, you know, that's where we struggle. That's where we need the Lord's help. Amen? So let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, how we thank you so much for revealing us everything that we need to know of your will in your word. And, dear God, we just really do pray that, Lord, you would help us to be patient as you work on us, Lord, to always continue to grow and learn from you. Lord, we pray you bless each and every person here, Lord, that's decided and determined in the heart to yield to you, to want to follow your will and your ways. And God, I pray you just encourage them in that. And Lord, I pray you just continually each and every day renew our hearts and minds and transform our lives. Because, Lord, truly, we do want to do your will. We want to experience your joy and your blessing and we want to see you glorified and use our lives. And Lord, we just pray you'd help us with that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we'll take a break before our morning service.